Duncan McDonald is kindly in for a kōrero today, and we're talking about building marae resilience for a safer tomorrow. Engineering students are delving into the challenges of fortifying marae against future climate emergencies. Obviously, this comes in the wake of Cyclone Gabrielle earlier this year, when marae across the North Island were crucial in supporting the local community. However, how ready are the marae for similar calamities in the future? Duncan McDonald is an honours student at the Faculty of Engineering here in Tamaki Makaurau. He's kindly with us to have a bit of a kōrero about the role marae play in civil defence issues and how strong they are, literally, in order to perform that task and others. Thanks for your time today, Duncan. A warm welcome to I Te Rangi Wāte and Pākehā. Kia ora.
Ate Marie.
Kia ora. It's an interesting kaupapa here. You know, we're proud of our marae. Often they're humble whare, but they all serve the same purpose, Duncan. If they're flash and opulent or very humble in design, they all are there to manaaki in times of need. And so, obviously, with these issues, these climatic issues, they have been useful. And, of course, we're keen to understand how we can protect not just the marae, but the mahi that they perform or the role they perform in sort of civil defence and community challenges. Thanks for joining us today. Why is it that your students at the Faculty of Engineering are considering this? And give us a lay of the land from your end, please, Duncan.
Yeah, no worries. I think that's some great points there. Firstly, I mean, like you said in the introduction there with Cyclone Gabrielle and a lot of the news about that, but also just consistently over the past couple of years and seeing some of these stories come up with the way that marae have provided that care for communities, that manaakitanga. It's been really cool to see. So we sort of thought there was a really good opportunity there. And one of the things that we also sort of see for these rural and coastal communities in New Zealand is actually the resilience is really high. You know, people in these rural areas have sort of pitched the flag and said, this is our land, this is how we want to stay here. So we're looking at ways that we can enable that going forward.
When we look at this particular focus, is it looking at the physical construct of the marae, the siting of it, or the role that it plays in a civil defence challenge, such as we witnessed in Gabrielle? I mean, in order to be a strong focal point, the whare literally need to be strong themselves. What are some of the issues you are considering?
Yeah, so I guess the first point here is that, you know, internationally there's a whole lot of you know, pages and pages of literature around what kind of standards need to be for food, for water, for building. And we're not trying to challenge that, but we're actually trying to say, how does this kind of multitude of stuff that's out there, how does that actually apply in a New Zealand context and specifically to that marae context? So we looked at everything from, you know, how we're going to provide food and water to how we're going to be able to communicate with the outside world, how safe that location is, and then how our systems, how our volunteer network, how our hapu, how we all get involved and pitch in.
Interesting. Talk with us about how you and the tauira in the engineering department, how you're going about collating the information so you can get a clear picture of the role and therefore the preparedness and the challenges that marae face in these circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. So we came at this from a kind of a literature screening perspective, and we combined that with some of the work that we did going down on site and getting a bit of a perspective. And there's also some great researchers in the department who look at sort of marae more generally, so they kind of helped advise in that regard. But what we really did is we looked at sort of about 300 case studies from across the world and in similar or buildings and structures that occupy a similar space. So that might be something like a mosque in an Islamic nation that's very similar to a marae in that community centre role. That's where everybody comes together. It's kind of community driven. So we looked at what might be some of the parallels there. And then also, obviously, we looked through those kind of best practice international guidelines for things like food, water, where that marae needs to be.
A lot of marae sort of battle along. Raising money is difficult at times. And as I say, some of the structures are fairly basic. But when we look at the requirements of them in times of emergency, you've already touched on the need for strong communications when a power is down, for instance, electricity lines likewise, and then there's the obvious issue of sanitation, clean water, etc. How well prepared or not are many of the marae that may well come into play in these times of emergency, Duncan?
Yeah, so I think there are some challenges there with how we adapt to a changing world. The thing that we really discovered through our research is actually a lot of marae are in pretty good locations. There's kind of a history of, you know, building your pa on a safe area up on a hill, which that's a really good starting point to have a good structure. Structurally, there are some issues, and with things like water and sanitation, there are challenges, but that's really going to be on a case-by-case basis and depending on the specific needs of one area. But local knowledge and that kind of area-specific knowledge of things like streams or springs, that's a really good starting point to look at, okay, let's say the power goes off, what's our plan B to get water? And that's probably our key message here, is that, you know, it might all feel a bit overwhelming, but ultimately just by sitting down and actually planning through sort of what would happen in this case and that case, we actually found that the OPEC MRI, which was the main case study we looked at, they were actually pretty well situated to sort of spend a little bit of money getting things like a satellite phone or a Starlink set up. But other than that, they were in a really good position.
Tēnā koe, Duncan. It's valuable information that you're garnering, because there have been moves in more modern context to have a stronger collaboration with civil defence, as an example. And, of course, with the data that you're collating, it may strengthen the case via civil defence and therefore through to government funding agencies of the role that marae can play in times of community emergencies. So the collaboration with civil defence gives it more impetus to perhaps address some of the shortcomings we're finding in our marae now. You've touched on them, Starlink cell phones, sanitation, communication hubs, and even down to perhaps housing some equipment that could be of value in times of climate emergencies. So it's valuable information that you're gathering here. Do you think it might strengthen the case when it comes to funding and perhaps, you know, have a decent tilt at it rather than the sausage sizzles and cake stalls?
Yeah, there's a bit of that goes on. I think this is definitely an area that there is going to be more research in, and actually looking at how you involve kind of government with community shelter. But that's not just a New Zealand specific problem. I mean, that's a recurring thing for everywhere that there's community shelter. It sort of often falls into one of two categories: either you get nothing, or you get kind of the government coming in and sort of rolling over the top of you. So it's about finding that balance, and I think we have had, you know, a lot of experience and learnings in New Zealand through Christchurch and through these rain events that hopefully will be actioned at some point, and we can look at really enabling the great existing structure that marae offer. Yeah.